So good to be in the house of God. You know, I'm reminded this week, a scripture that's come to me is Psalm 103, where it's David with a man, he's a man with a heart after God. And David says to the Lord, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives me of all my sins. He heals me of all my diseases, and he crowns me with love and compassion." Wow, just those things alone makes us want to worship God. Amen? What a good God we serve. We're in a series called Body and Soul. So I'm going to speak to you a message about your soul. Because your soul, I want to tell you, is so, so important. So, are you ready? Bow your heads. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the power of your word. Your word is truth. And your Bible tells us in Romans not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, the way the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that happens through the word of God. So today, Father, I pray that we would not just hear your word, that we would do your word, and in doing that, we would be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless this word. Amen. Amen. Body and soul. Body and soul. Today I'm going to talk to you about the value of a soul. The value of your soul. I've got a bit of ringing here, but are you guys okay with the sound? Okay? So we're going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about the value of your soul. So let's get right into the scriptures. Now, Jesus says this. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24, he said unto his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul?" Now, Jesus is saying here, is there anything more valuable than your soul? And he's saying, you can have all that the world offers, but in the end, you could end up losing your soul. The question for today is this: how valuable is your soul? Just how valuable? And the truth is, we love evaluating things, don't we? You know, we like to see how much something is worth. The value, the price, the cost. And we see that reflected in our culture in very popular TV shows. Like this one here, The Antique Roadshow. That's been going forever. You know, like this is the 40th season. That's probably the UK version. And that's where experts sort of evaluate all the stuff that people own. Or how about this show, the next one? This is one of my favorite shows. This is still going. Storage Wars. I love that show. And it's where people blindly bid on these storage units. Well, how about this one? Wow, The Price is Right. The Price is Right. 50 years. Celebrating 50. It's an institution. It's a phenomenon. 50 years. The Price is Right. You know, my mom, and when she was living, she loved watching The Price is Right. She loved watching Bob Barker. Go back to that. Remember Bob Barker? He's the original Price is Right guy. And she loved Bob Barker. I remember going into, you know, every Friday afternoon, I think around 3 o'clock, Price is Right would come on. And that's usually the time I used to visit my mom. So I'd walk in. And often I see her just glued to the TV set. She's watching The Price is Right. And she loved The Price is Right. You know, and I could see why she loved it, right? You know, and the camera pans on all these people hoping to be a contestant. And the announcer says something like, "Joyce Jones, come on down." And people are dancing around and there's frenzy, there's hysteria. You know, and my mom loved it all. She loved the music, she loved the big wheel, she loved the games, and she loved seeing people win. No. And Barker would say something like this. No. No choice. If this jar of peanut butter is less than $5, then you win. It's a car. And people are going wild. And Joyce is going nuts. You know, all the way down to the showdown showcase, it's all about the price. It's all about the value. It's all about the cost, isn't it? And we're so familiar about cost, aren't we? I mean, we deal with cost every day. The cost of housing, the cost to raise our kids, the cost of education, the cost of living is going up, and the cost of automobile. How about the cost of gas? The cost of entertainment, the cost of going on holidays, and the list goes on. All kinds of costs. And Jesus says, listen, you can have it all, but it's not worth the cost of your soul. It's not worth your soul. He said, you could have it all. You could have all the money in the world. You could drive a Ferrari. You know, you could have wealth, fame, finances, but it's not worth your soul. Here's why it's not worth your soul. Number one, your soul is so important because it's the eternal part of you. It's the part of you that lives on forever. It's the invisible part. It's the spiritual part that's in your life. It involves your soul. It involves your mind and your will and your emotions, right? It's invisible. It's the mysterious you inside of you, and it's beyond science, you know. And it's the real you. It's the person that you actually talk to day and night, and it's the part of you that helps you to make moral judgments. Your soul is such a critical part of you. Now, I know I'm stating the obvious thing here. There are two things we all have in common. Number one, we will all die. Do we agree with that? We will all die, every single one of us. And the second thing we all have in common, we will all live somewhere in eternity. And there is a choice. Now, the choice is this, according to the Bible. If you choose Christ, then you will spend eternity with God in heaven. If you don't choose Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. Hell is a place where there is a total separation from the presence of God. Everything about God, His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His love, His peace, His joy, totally separated from that. That's hell. Heaven is different. It's a totally different place. It's the place where you have continual joy, peace, life in the presence of our Father in heaven. And contrary to what I'm starting to hear, some preachers starting to preach, there is a hell. And hell is not a pleasant place. Hell is not just a space and time where we just put until we repent and then we go to heaven. You know, I'm hearing different things like that. You know, and that's a dangerous thing to preach because it's not gospel. And I want to say this. The question is, well, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. People make the choice. God did everything possible to give us an eternal place in heaven to be with Him. He went so far as to literally come down from heaven in the form of His Son and sacrifice Himself on and shed His blood just so that we could have eternity with Him forever. God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have eternal life forever. Praise God for that. Amen? But I want to tell you, hell is a real place. And our soul either goes to one or the other. But it's up to every single one of us. There was a gentleman that came here to Lethbridge a few years ago. And his name is Maurice Rawlings. And Maurice Rawlings, he actually came to the city here, and actually Karen and I had an opportunity to sit with him at a round table with some others. And Maurice Rawlings was a cardiologist. He was a surgeon. He was also a skeptic and a non-believer. In 1977, I think he lived in, I can't remember the exact state, he's an American. But in 1977, he experienced a patient of his dying and being revived multiple times. He was just doing a normal, he's a 40-year-old man, he was doing a normal check and doing an ECG, and the guy died. And he kept trying to revive him. Now, here's the thing. Every single time the guy was revived, he would come back literally screaming, "I'm in hell. Pray for me." Every time that happened. Excuse me. And he said, "Pray for me." And he wasn't a believer. But he said, "I remembered this prayer that we used to pray in Sunday school." And he says, and it was a prayer to Jesus. A prayer to Jesus. He said, "I prayed that prayer." And immediately, the guy stabilized. He said, that event literally changed him forever. He says, it literally scared the hell out of me. He became a believer. And began to find out all these cases, explore these cases of near-death experiences. And he says, definitely, when people die, there's definitely, they're going to either one place or another, and it's noticeable. You know, he wrote a book called The Hell and Back. It changed his life forever. Your eternity, you know, eternity is so important. It's so important that we live a life for eternity. Point number two, life is short, eternity is forever. Life is short, eternity is forever. This is a great video. I remember showing this video before. Watch this. We'll watch part of this. This is by Francis Chan.
He's going, "Man, what am I to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used a, remember computer paper when it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off? Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But, because that was the best, you know, and it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, and, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, "Oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here." And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, "Oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about what about all this stuff? It's just, it's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can?" Paul says, "Look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here." See, people look at some of my decisions and go, "Oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this." I go, "No, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this." Man.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's a great video, but isn't that true? You know, understanding that changes everything. It should change everything. It should change what's important to us. It should change how we live and who we live for and what we value in life. Amen? It is so true. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul said, and he says these words with excitement. He said, "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. And when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. In a snap of a finger, in the twinkling of an eye, you and I can be taken out of this life and into the next, in a moment's time." 2 Corinthians 5:6, "Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye, in a snap of a finger, no more need for Botox." We have a new body. Life is short. Eternity is forever. But it's amazing how we spend in our lives and how we put so much attention on what does not last. Like our bodies. I mean, billions of dollars are spent on people's bodies trying to stay young, trying to stay attractive, trying to stay fit, you know, trying to stay healthy. You know, they're not going to last forever. Or how about how much money we spend on cars and trucks and vacations and vehicles and all kinds of stuff. Somebody said, "You'll never see a U-Haul following a hearse," right? All this stuff. But I want to be clear. You say, okay, I want to put things into balance too. You know, there's a balance in the way we should live, right? I believe that we need to go on vacation, that I believe that we need to spend time with our family on holidays. We need to enjoy life. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. And Jesus would never say, don't go on vacation, don't spend time with your family. But the question is, are we valuing our soul? Are we doing that? Are we putting investment into eternity? Are we giving to the cause of Christ? You know, are we telling people about Jesus? And those are vital things that we need to do. And sometimes I think we get it backwards. We have temporal things, and then it's eternal things, just like that video. But it should be the other round. First, eternal things, and then temporal things, right? First the Bible, and first prayer. And if you're into the prayer in the Bible, whether you're a housewife, or you're a businessman, or you're a father, you know, put your heart and mind into prayer in the Bible, and you'll accomplish way more than anything you could do in your own strength, right? How about meditating on the Word day and night? And then the promise of God is, then you will be successful than all in all that you do. How about putting God first in finances? Because He's the one that opens windows and opens doors that cannot be opened, right? You know, it's God first. God first, God is our priority, right? God first, God's way. So, to answer that question, why is your soul so valuable? Number one, I'm going to repeat it again. Your soul is so valuable because your soul is eternal. It's the part of you, and it's also the part of you that connects with God. You cannot connect with God unless you had a soul and a spirit. You know that? Genesis 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living" what? A living soul. Not a living body. A living soul. That word soul is the Hebrew word nafesh. It's mentioned 750 times in the Old Testament. The Greek word psuche is mentioned 100, for soul is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament. 850 times God talks about your soul. Now, we don't know when your soul is put into you, whether it's at conception or in the womb, but at some point in time, this eternal part of God is put by God into your human flesh. And listen, it's the part of you that longs for God. If you didn't have a soul, you wouldn't care anything about God. It's the part of you that longs for God. Psalm 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my what? My soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My soul, the next verse, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So this is why worship is so important, because worship is all about your soul and your spirit. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your what? All your soul. You love God with your soul and with your mind. See, worship is so powerful in the life of a believer, because I believe that worship resuscitates, sustains, maintains your soul. Worship keeps your soul vibrantly alive in Christ. Without worship, your soul would literally die. Your soul is the part of you. Worship allows our soul to breathe in and to breathe out. Our soul, when we're in the presence of God and we're in the worship of our presence of God, our soul breathes in the presence of God and our soul breathes out worship and praise to Him. And it's like this divine circulation of healing and health and wholeness that comes. We're in. That's why you need to be in church all the time, as much as you can, together, corporately, in person. You need to be here in worship, because it keeps your soul alive, keeps you healthy spiritually. Amen? Your soul needs to breathe, needs to live. It's the breath of life. Worship is the breath of life to the soul. And then when we praise and worship God, it brings, it releases that life so more life can come into you. Amen? So powerful. Our soul is eternal. It was created to worship God. Point number two. Your soul is made in the image of God. This is so important to realize. It's image is so important. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image and the likeness of God, he created him. And by the way, male and female, he created them. We are made in God's image. He's eternal, and so are we. Our bodies don't connect to God. Our soul and the spirit connects to God. So that's why we can connect to God, because we too are soul and spirit just like Him. Isn't that amazing? I'll give you a couple more reasons why your soul is so valuable. The devil is after your soul. The devil is after your soul. Jesus said it, the thief's chief purpose, John 10:10, is to steal and kill and destroy. What's he after to steal and kill and destroy? Your body? He knows that's going to be destroyed anyway, right? Now, what's he after? He's after your soul. There's a constant warfare for your soul. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the consistently righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures and wins souls for God. He gathers them for eternity. Another verse, just like it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. You want to be a superstar for Jesus? You want to shine for Jesus? Then be a soul winner. I want to say this to you, and I believe it with all my heart. Every single person, every single believer in Christ is called to be a soul winner. I'm a soul winner. You're a soul winner. You are called to be a soul winner. Can we declare that today? I am called to be a soul winner. Let's say it. I am called to be a soul winner. There, you said it. God heard you. You need to recognize, we need to recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. The devil is after souls. He's after souls. And here it says right here, we need to be a soul winner. Now, to win something implies that there's a competition, that there's an opposition. We're in a battle for souls. The devil's after your soul. He's after your friend's soul, your family's soul, just as much as God is. And I know Christians, they go throughout life and they just drift along, never realizing that they're in a spiritual battle. And we need to wake up and realize that we need to enter this battle. Romans chapter 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that a great scripture? Anyone who just literally calls upon the name of the Lord, he's going to be saved. But there's more to it. And I almost want to add a word but in the next verse. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them, preaching to them? Listen, no one just falls into the kingdom on their own. Right? At some point in time, we have to tell people about Jesus. We have to open our mouths and we got to tell people about Jesus. Ben Franklin said, as we must account for every idle word, so we must account for every idle silence. Christianity is the fastest growing faith in the world, except in North America. Do you know that? Except in North America. And I think a lot of that is the North American response to this thing called COVID. Now he says, well, Pastor, we're past that COVID. But listen, COVID really hurt churches in Canada and particularly in North America. COVID caused division, separation, and isolation, and fear like I can't even believe. So much fear. People got so terrified of COVID. Fear is not from God. Fear is a spirit from the devil. And this whole thing that happened, it's demonic. It was never designed. The church was never designed to respond that way that a lot of churches did. Mandates. We say, COVID is over, but sometimes we have to talk about where we've been to see where we need to go and not go. Mandates. Mandates hurt the church. So many churches and pastors got focused on mandates that they literally stopped listening to the mandate of God. They gave up on the mission of God. I want to tell you, God's mandate has never changed. God's mission has never changed. It's still to go and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. In the book of Acts, Peter and the apostles, this is just after Christ crucified on the cross, resurrected, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And they're preaching the gospels, they're infiltrating that city of Jerusalem, they're preaching the gospel left and right, and people are coming to Christ in droves. Well, the governing authorities got upset, arrested them, and demanded, close your doors, shut it down, don't talk about Jesus anymore. So what was the apostles' response? What was Peter and the apostles' response? It's this. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Any human authority. You know what he said? "Go blow it out your nose." We listen to God, not to man. And I think that as churches, we have to start listening to God and obeying God rather than obeying what other people say. Amen? I'd get in trouble for saying what I am saying. But I believe that with all my heart, the church needs to stand on the ground of God's word. Otherwise, it's going to fall. So many churches have closed their doors in the last 2 years. So many pastors have quit and resigned. The church needs to rise up and go ahead. God wants to strengthen us in the battle. Amen? Yeah. Excuse me, 1 second. I got to give you one more point, and I'm done. Your soul is so valuable because of the cost required to redeem your soul. Matthew 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life." That word life is actually the Greek word psuche, which means soul. "To give his soul as a ransom for many." So the question is, why is your soul valuable? How valuable, how much is your life worth? The answer, you know what it is? The price of Jesus' life. You are worth the price of Jesus' life. What was the price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was his soul for your soul. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. It was not paid with mere gold and silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, sinless, spotless Lamb of God." Your soul's value is the Son of God. He paid your ransom, the price, his precious blood. Praise the Lord. You got to know this. You got to know this. We have to realize that one soul, just one soul is so, so, so important to God. You are valuable to God. You are of infinite value. And he proved it to you. If you put everything together that the world offers, listen, it's not worth you. It's not worth your soul. Amen? And that's direct. And that's the way God feels about you. All this worth, all that the world offers, is not worth you. And he'd have died and gone to the cross just for you. Amen? What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing, amazing, amazing God we serve. He loved you so much. He took the hands and the nails in his feet. Amen? And Jesus said, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul?" I love the words of Billy Graham. God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, "I love you. I am so," yeah, let's give God a hand. You know, I love the cross. I love the cross. The cross is not a horrible picture. It doesn't turn me off. It shouldn't turn anyone off because it's a picture of God's love. Amen? I see that it's a picture of love. I love what Billy Graham says. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, "I love you." So let's think about that. Every stripe on his back, "I love you." Every nail in his hands and his feet, "You are valuable." Every mocking word that he took, "You are worth it." Every breath that he took hanging on that cross, "I love you." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is a tremendous scripture. I love this scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy. For the joy. Who is, you know, what's that scripture saying? For the joy. When Christ was hanging on that cross, he was looking down at you. You are the joy. You are the joy. Do you know that? You are the joy. When he sat, when he was hanging out on the cross, he was looking at you and me. We are the joy. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important to God than a salvation of a soul to be with him forever. You and I were called to win souls. Amen? Bow your heads. Question, as we bow our heads, what are we living for? Who are we living for? We exist to reach people for Jesus Christ. And there's a harvest of souls right there, right now, ready, waiting to hear about Jesus Christ. And they need to hear it today. So let's pray. Father God, send us into your harvest fields to reach souls for Christ. Whether it's the derelict, the drug addict, it's the prostitute, the alcoholic, the neighbor that lives next to us, the people that we work with, everybody needs Jesus. And Father, give us the boldness to invite them to your house, to your home, to City Light Church, so they can have an encounter with you. Father, break our hearts for what breaks your heart. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Just want to keep your heads bowed just for another minute, please. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23 says that the penalty for death, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, today, you've never given your heart, you never repented of your sins, you can repent of your sins, and you can receive forgiveness of all your sins, and you can yet receive the new life that God wants to give you. And you do that just by receiving Christ into your heart by faith today. So if that's you, and you want to have Christ in your heart, and you want to receive this gift of eternal life, then I invite you to just pray, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this simple but powerful prayer. This prayer will change your life for eternity. Are you ready for this? If that's you, say this prayer to God. You're watching online, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross, shedding your blood to pay for all my sins. Today and now, Lord, I invite you to come into my heart and to be Lord and Savior of my life forever and into eternity. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen and amen.